Hello, St. Louis, and welcome to the STL Leaders Podcast, hosted by Brian Bisking. Brian started this weekly podcast to give a voice to leaders of our community, to share their story, their journey, and the lessons that they have learned along the way. Brian grew up in a small town outside of St. Louis, where he watched his father run a small business and was always interested in how the leaders in his community got where they are. Whether it's a local business leader, a philanthropist, or a celebrity, these are your STL leaders. Join us today, where we will chat with another pillar of our community on this week's episode of the STL Leaders Podcast. And now, your host, Brian Bisking.
Hello, St. Louis, and welcome to this week's episode of the STL Leaders Podcast. On this week's episode, we welcome Ryan Hall, president of Beanstalk. This podcast is sponsored by Synchrony HR, NWO IT Services, and Beanstalk Web Solutions. And now, for this week's episode with Ryan Hall. Ryan Hall, welcome to the STL Leaders Podcast. Appreciate you joining me this morning.
Of course, man. Thanks for having me on. Glad to be a part of it.
Absolutely. Well, we've known each other, I don't even know how long, 5, 6, 7, 8 years now, probably. It dates way back.
It's getting up there, man. Yeah, it's been at least four, at least five.
At least, yeah, for sure, for sure. So excited to reconnect with you here not too long ago, and you got some exciting things going on in your life. And so I thought, well, heck, let's get you on the show. And just announced that Beanstalk Web Solutions is now a sponsor of this podcast and helping me with, you know, a little bit of marketing and website stuff. So really excited to dive in on that. So let's kind of start with you, though. Talk to us growing up. What led you to kind of get into the industry that you're in?
Yeah, from St. Louis originally. I actually grew up out in the Eureka area. And it's funny listening to some of your past podcasts. A lot of good adversity stories. And faced a fair share myself, but very lucky for what I had. Fortunately, had just incredible grandparents growing up that supported me, took care of me, made sure I had everything I needed. But on top of that, had a mother that did suffer with alcohol and substance abuse issues. Had a brother that was 6 years older than me that was there to help somewhat. But fast forward today, his life path and choices have led to not some go so great things and some prison stints here and there. So while my grandparents were always there for me and supported me, from a pretty young age, I lacked a lot of accountability and responsibility in the home life. And in a way forced me to become a pretty independent person, create a pretty independent mindset that where I realized at a young age, if I wanted something or needed something, it was more of the time on me to get it. And so luckily, I was a pretty athletic kid. Baseball became a really good just mental escape for me and really dove into that and found a passion there, which was great and really helped establish that independent mindset, but how to use that within a bigger team, a greater good, because I believe that in baseball, it's truer in baseball than any other sport. While it's few against the pitcher, it is a full-blown team effort for 162 games if you're talking Major League Baseball. So that was really good, but ultimately the overall lack of accountability and responsibility in the home life started leading to bad decisions, bad choices, and ultimately landed me in a good amount of trouble. My senior year of high school, ended up unfortunately losing my senior year of basketball, but two really good things happened at that point. One, I met a girl that's amazing, that I was definitely out of my class, and had the realization that I needed to get out of St. Louis. I needed to leave and hopefully come back when I was ready. So all that being said, I was still able to play my senior year of baseball, which led me to have several choices across the region, across the country, for free college. And so my girlfriend decided she was going to Mizzou. So I picked Johns County Community College out in Kansas City, about 2 hours down the highway from Mizzou. So started doing that. So the opportunity to get out of St. Louis and just come back when I was ready was huge. So ultimately did come back, ended up finishing with a business degree from Webster, and I'm now married to that girl with two kids. So all going well. She's now doing trauma therapy for children out in Union, Missouri. Just doing awesome work. Couldn't be more proud of her. And yeah, we'll get into it here in a little bit, but kind of happened chance I fell into marketing and kind of ended up falling in love with it as well. So
That's awesome. Well, it's that's a good story to share, just from the adversity you faced at a young age, and realizing your senior year that it was you needed to restart, so to speak, and went to that college, and then wound yourself back here. And I would say the cool thing, and we'll obviously dive into this about that story, is just the ability to overcome that adversity, the ability to recognize it, and put your mind, as you said, kind of to a matter of, hey, I gotta make a change. I gotta do something more responsible. And sounds like your wife also was a huge piece of that. So that's a kind of a real cool story that you just shared with us. So let's talk about kind of how you got into marketing. I know now you're at Beanstalk. Talk to us a little bit about Beanstalk. What do they do, and kind of where your career path kind of started at with Beanstalk, and how you became president.
So Beanstalk, in a traditional sense, we're a marketing agency, right? But truly, I would consider us more of a marketing and tech services company. So we host and maintain over 500 WordPress websites, monthly updates, hourly work, whatever you might have. And then we build anywhere from 15 to 25 full websites each year, whether that's a full-blown custom e-commerce site or a 20-page website for, a local company here in St. Louis. So that side of our business is quite large. We also partner with several other agencies here in St. Louis with development work. We have three incredible WordPress developers that sit in our office in Webster. So we're able to handle a lot of the very challenging high-level WordPress problems, and we're able to do it with efficiency, with kind of culture and team we've created down there. So yeah, really happy with where we're at from a development standpoint. From a marketing sense, we don't necessarily do like your large branding campaigns or your ideal client profile, your target market research, ton of positioning work, or traditional media buying. So that's why, in a sense, I tend to shy away from calling us a full-blown marketing agency and more of a marketing tech services company, where with a lot of the industries that we work with are independently owned B2C service providers, B2B products, who that very top end of that funnel, that lead generation, is very important to them. And they want that now. So from a marketing standpoint, we do, your traditional, your Google ads, your social ads, your marketing automation, your text automation, your nurturing campaigns, and all that stuff. But what we've done recently is kind of really pieced it back and helped productize it to where now we're able to offer all these services into one bundle. Because the biggest thing that we had trouble with was ROI. So what we've done is we've created a whole system that we're able to use all these tactics and send them to certain landing pages. So we're able to track all the metrics we want. And then we've developed what we call our VineSync CRM, which the only stuff that goes into the CRM is all of your efforts from you spending from your ads, right? So it's completely independent from everything else we might be doing. When we're ready to push contact out, we can. But the real deal of that VineSync CRM is so that way, in that early part of that sales process, if you are doing appointment setting, you are having multiple touches, we can automate that text automation to remind that person that you're coming for that appointment tomorrow at 6, right? We can remind that the email for the invoice is due. We can help automate that process. So that way, not only can we help bring in the leads, but we can also help shore up that fishing net and make sure that we're doing the best we can to put the most effort into every lead. Because from our standpoint, we were getting some frustration too, as well as, well, what are you doing with these leads? Oh, we called them once. Did you do anything else? No, we just called them once. Like, okay, well, what can we do to help you follow up on that more often than not? And so that's how it kind of led to us creating this more of this automation CRM process that all of our leads funnel into. So that way we have really good control over exactly what we're doing for you. And then we're easily able to show you exactly where each dollar of yours is being spent and where your leads are coming from. So that's been a big change from us, especially in the last year and a half. We used to be pretty broad, kind of be everything to everybody, and we've kind of pieced down and done that now. So the next step from there is everyone's having this AI talk, this AI conversation, what's going on with AI. So We are keeping a tab on it. We're looking at some technologies that make sense, that fit well with our current tech offerings and service offerings. And over the next 6 months to a year, we expect to see a pretty good change. Expect to see a lot of these technologies really improving. And we want to make sure we're there to see which ones are the best to use for our clients.
That's awesome, man. Yeah, it's sounds like it's, from the back in the day when I very first met Tim over Tim Hebel over there at Beanstalk, to kind of where you guys are at now. Sounds like a lot of growth, a lot of change from a digital perspective and automation perspective, which is obviously great for those small, medium-sized businesses here in the St. Louis metro region. Talk us about, when you started at Beanstalk and then, obviously worked your way to become president. Kind of how was that transition? And what did it, I would say, what was something that was kind of eye-opening from a leadership perspective that you found yourself in?
So it's obviously been a lot of work, but as of late, it's been a lot more fun. Especially with our current team. Unfortunately, I can't say it's always been that way. I think the really eye-opening thing for me at first was our culture is not in a good spot. That really needs to be changed. And so working on culture early on became a very important part of what I want to do, but I also realized that while our culture wasn't intentional, our operations certainly weren't scalable. They're kind of hit and miss, they're hodgepodge. We kind of do things differently for everybody. And it made it very tough to start growing and growing in a way that's easy. So we really started to professionalize. We got some professional processes in place. We made some personnel changes, and we started doing stuff with intention. We started EOS about a year and a half ago now, and that's made an absolute massive difference. Honestly, it's made my job a lot easier, especially when it comes to accountability. Not that the accountability part is eye-opening. I knew it was going to be there, but what's the right way to go about accountability? It's a tough question to answer, right?
Yeah, for sure.
So EOS has been huge for that, and it also helps me what's expected of people, and then what the vision is. Why are we doing what we're doing today, and where's it going to get us in the next 90 days and in 1 year? So with that, kind of professionalizing the business, working on culture, we're back on pace to being as large as we ever have. However, this time, we are definitely more confident that we've shattered that operational ceiling, and the growth now can actually be sustainable and push beyond what we've had in the past. So culture-wise, we started focusing heavily on culture. So we actually just had our quarterly outing yesterday. Like I said, we're EOS company, so we do what we call the quarterly state of the stock company every quarter. It's a morning session, and then we have lunch and we do an afternoon activity. So it's really helped. I'm not going to use the word family, but it's really helped bring us together. It's really helped just become a close-knit group that can rely on each other personally, professionally. We start seeing laughter in the office. We've started to see a lot of things come our way to where our team is solving problems, they're working together, and it's become a good engine. Culture with the quarterly outings, we do lunches. Yesterday we went to that battle show game room and just had fun with each other, right? And so that was, like I said, probably the biggest challenge was getting a culture in place that is ready to go, break that operational ceiling. And now the next challenge is how do we keep scaling, and what's this AI going to do to the world in the next 6 months to 5 years? So, yeah.
Yeah, who knows? I gotta be honest, I have not used AI hardly at all. I have some sales reps that work for me that use, ChatGPT and Grammarly and all these products to help them write emails or whatever the heck they use them for. To be honest with you, I don't really know, but I'm the farthest thing from a tech savvy guy, as you can probably be. I mean, I know how to use our CRM. I know how to use my cell phone. And that's about where it stops.
I've been working with you on that website for the last 3 weeks. Tell me.
Yeah, you know as much as anybody right now. I'm like, I don't even know how to spell the website. I don't know the login information. I know nothing.
Hey, we got there. You knew enough.
Yeah, we got that. That's right.
So,
That's right. So let's talk about your leadership style. And I want to kind of come back to one thing on that. You mentioned the EOS. For those who don't know, why don't you share with us what EOS is and talk to me how EOS has kind of helped you implement a leadership style, helped you really kind of change the culture, as you kind of mentioned. Talk to us about EOS and kind of what that experience has been like.
So EOS stands for Entrepreneurial Operating System. Think of it like a Windows operating system, right? It's a system your business runs on. And it's been really great because a lot of times we'd have these meetings, we had these ideas, but nothing really ever got done. Nothing ever really got pushed forward. You know, we'd want to hold people accountable, but we didn't really have standards and guidelines in place that we could enforce. So what it really has done is it's helped us get focused. It's helped us identify the issues that are causing the problems, not just the issues, but the core root issue of what's actually happening, not just the surface level. And it's been massive in us establishing a vision as well, right? And a path to get there. We don't want to be where we're at, you know, 5 years from now. We have a vision we want to get to, but everyone has that vision, but I'm just getting there, right? And so when you have that roadmap and the ability to predict, to see down the road and put things in place that you need, it's huge. And why we love it so much is it works in 7 day and 90 day windows, right? So while you have these big, hairy goals and stuff you want to do, you're able to break it down to very manageable and meaningful day action items on a week to week and month to month basis. So it's something that we've stuck with pretty intensely. We don't deviate too far from it. And we've had amazing feedback from the employees that were here kind of before this all started and the ones that are still here to where now they do know exactly what's expected of them. They know exactly where the company's heading, what future opportunities lie there. We're very honest and open about the issues we're facing, the things that we need to change. And it's really allowed us to identify the issues and have an open conversation about what needs to be done and then hold people accountable to getting those things done. So if your company is having trouble getting focused and getting things moving on a week to week, month to month basis, I couldn't recommend it enough. It's a lot of reading. I'll give it that. It's a lot of reading, but it's really good.
Yeah, I've had the fortune of meeting several of the EOS implementers here across St. Louis, as well as I actually originally knew the gentleman who bought the and owned the entire EOS kind of across the country. This is 7, 8 years ago, but yeah, it's a really although I've never been through the program, never been a part of it, I've read about it. There's a book, I can't remember the name of the book that originally started it.
Oh, Gino Wickman, I forgot what it was. It might be like Get a Grip or Traction or one of those ones that
Traction,
you're
that's
thinking
it.
of.
Traction, yep, that's it. But I've had several clients who've went through it. I got clients that are in it now, and seems like a really, really cool program. Talk to us about kind of your leadership style and what it was before, and maybe how it's even changed since.
And talking about leadership, I mean, EOS has been a huge part of that, right? Like Tim has never, you know, never grown a company from where we're at to 5, 10 million. I've never done it. You know, we don't have the answers. And so the EOS really allows us to put something in place that we don't have to have the answers. We just have to identify the issues and figure out how to move forward from there. So yeah, it's been huge from that leadership standpoint. It's because I don't have that 20 years of experience of dealing with problems and people. But from a leadership standpoint, I'm a firm believer in energy. I mean, energy, I think, starts at the top. And I know that sounds cliche, but I mean, you have to set the tone of how the look, the feel of the overall branding of what your company is, right? Because ultimately, you are kind of the face of it. But besides that, I'm pretty laissez-faire, you know. Certainly, don't believe micromanagers or high producers. Then I also don't beat around the bush when it comes to communication style, right? I'm fairly raw and direct. I don't like to leave room for interpretation if I can avoid it. But yeah, like I said, the micromanagement is just, it's not conducive to creating a culture that we want. And it certainly doesn't align with our core values. And so if you're somebody that has to be micromanaged by myself or your direct report, then it's not the right fit. Kind of back to EOS, what EOS is great is every seat knows exactly what the role is, how it fits in a larger picture, and they have scorecard items attached with that seat. And so they know as long as they're hitting their scorecard items and doing those things that they're doing what's expected of them. And then one of our core values is to go above and beyond as well. So what are you doing to continue to improve yourself to make sure that we're growing and learning new things? I'd say the biggest change in me as a leader probably came from having kids and realizing that not just that we're all humans, but we're all, you know, mothers, brothers, fathers, sisters, sons, daughters. And Most people work to support a life that they want to achieve, do things that they want to do. And so we take that very seriously at Beanstalk. We don't just set professional goals. We set very detailed personal goals as well, right? It's funny you mentioned Tim. Tim gets mad at me or gets annoyed with me when I say, you know, I don't think anybody was 7 years old and dreamed of working at a marketing agency, right? I just don't know if many people had that dream, right? And so a big part of what we try to do is make sure that Beanstalk is the right vehicle for you to achieve what you want to achieve personally. And the second that Beanstalk isn't that place, then you know that we can have that conversation and we will find the right way to move forward. Because yeah, I'm just a firm believer of that your people, and I get it, you're working at Beanstalk to serve your personal life and your personal interest. And so we do the best we can to support that. So the first half of this year, I've been actually spending every Tuesday from 2:30 to 4 o'clock with a different employee. We go do something fun, and we do just that. We sit down and talk about how are things going? Is Beanstalk still the right fit for you? Are you on track to hit your personal goals? You know, whether or not you mentioned you wanted to start buying a house, you wanted to do these things. How are we doing? And plus, I get to do a lot of fun things. I've been to skate parks. I've been at gun ranges. We just sat down and had margaritas. And so it's a really good way to truly understand what makes them tick and what's important to them. And I think if you can understand what's important to them outside of work and what they want, then you don't have to micromanage them. They're gonna do what they need to do.
What's even cool about that is it also helps build your culture, right? It also kind of makes the culture that way. So you mentioned that earlier about developing the culture and strengthening the culture, and I'm sure that process absolutely does that as well. So that's pretty neat. It's funny you mentioned the energy. Our CEO, his name is Kyle Kelly at Synchrony HR, and I will tell you, I met him, oh man, 6 years ago. Met him at a Panera off of New Ballas Road in Creve Coeur. I sat down with him as he was trying to recruit me away from my previous employer, and the energy that he brought to that conversation, I walked away thinking, I don't even know how that guy can be so have so much energy and so much excitement. And still to this day, now we've been working together 5.5 years, and we've taken Synchrony HR along with the rest of the team at Synchrony, massive growth over the last 5.5 years. And he still every day walks in with that same kind of energy, no matter what's going on in the world, no matter what's going on in his personal life. And he literally can light up a room even in the darkest days. He just brings that energy in like you wouldn't believe. And I try to do the same every single day, but I will tell you, I'm human, and I'll be transparent. There's days I come in and it's like you grind, 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 and you can, you hit a wall, and you just feel like almost given up at points. And he comes in, and within minutes, I'm perked back up and I'm changed and I'm ready to go run through that wall with him. That's an incredible leader, that just is there with you in the trenches, helping out when needed, bringing the energy when the energy's down in the organization or in sales. As sales is the lifeline usually to most any company, and sales is not an easy thing, especially selling what we sell at Synchrony, which is, PEO, HR outsourcing. It's a challenging thing. And the other thing that makes our world unique is, 99.9% of our business comes from referral partners through insurance brokers. So if they're not sending leads and they're not sending referrals, sales can be down, and you got to be able to, be positive and continue to work those relationships and trust that the referrals will come. And it can be challenging at times, but he's a leader that always is there to pick everybody up, bring enthusiasm to the workforce, make you laugh, make you smile, make you think, what did he just say? But it's a great value in a leader. So I think, you mentioning that piece of you, I think that resonates with a lot of people. I will tell you, you may not see it every single day, but I recognize it every day that, he leads that way. And
It's
it can really make a
contagious.
huge, it absolutely is contagious. It can
It's
make a huge
contagious.
impact in an organization.
And it starts with something as easy as just a nice, energetic, meaningful good morning. Right? And you walk in, it's good morning, how are you? It's a completely different set than good morning, nice to see you. Like, how was your night? Like, just a quick 20 seconds, bring some energy because you're experiencing a human problem right there. You probably had a long night, something happened, and just need a quick pick me up. And I think that's the most underrated thing is when you can provide that spark to your team, even when they're struggling. It
Of course. I mean, nobody wants to come to work and be miserable, right? You have no idea what they dealt with at home. You don't know how their drive in that morning was. And if you get there and your leader comes in and he's down in the dumps and he's the one being negative, that energy, that negative energy will impact the whole company.
Back to your eye-opening statement earlier, when I started walking in each day and you'd walk in the office and it seems like everyone's goldfish just died. It's like, man, we have a problem now, right? It's like, this needs to be this, because that's contagious as well, right?
For sure.
The other side of energy is misery loves company, and that's just as contagious, if not more contagious. So just constantly fighting that, and that other half of the equation is a huge part of it, keeping your team engaged.
For sure. Yeah. For sure. Talk to me about networking. Obviously, that's how we originally met years ago, was just networking. I know it's still a, you know, kind of a part of your DNA, and it's absolutely still part of my DNA. I still, you know, although I don't have as much time as I once did for networking, because I'm helping running a company and
kids
and all those kids. Yeah. You know, kids make a big change in life. That's for sure. Yes. One of my real good friends just found out they're pregnant. And I said, buddy, it'll change your life. But I said, the bad times are outweighed by the good times all day long. And, but yeah, you know, sometimes things get pushed to the back burner. Although I still do my very best to get out there and network in our community, because that's what this podcast is all about, is just sharing stories about people in the St. Louis area. Talk to me about how you got into networking and how it's kind of been a part of your DNA.
Yeah. Obviously you live in St. Louis, right? So it's something if you're not doing it, you probably should start doing it. My whole career kind of hinges on networking. My first job out of college, I applied for a job with a recruiting company here in St. Louis. They opened a brand new office. They're a national agency, and did that for four and a half years. It was pretty successful, but it wasn't a lot of networking. It was mostly cold calling, emailing. And I realized pretty quick that, man, that'll take the life out of you, right?
Yes, it
I
will.
Mean, it's definitely good. It definitely works to an extent. It needs to be done, but when that's your job day in and day out, it gets pretty rough. And so that's funny. I actually ended up meeting a gentleman here in St. Louis that owns another agency. Got introduced to him. I had his cell phone number somehow. And so I just texted him. He likes to ride motorcycles. I like to ride motorcycles. I was like, hey, man, two things. One, I was looking for motorcycle riding buddies. And two, I noticed you're hiring a web developer. If it makes sense, I'd love to help, right? And that was kind of my first step out of the cold calling world and into the St. Louis network deal. I met this gentleman and really took off from there. Grew a great relationship with him, started working with him as well, staffing some web developers on his team. After about four and a half years of being there and starting to do a networking thing, it's pretty clear to me that this is not where I wanted to be in 30 years. I love the company I worked for. I love the fact that I worked for a startup company of a part of a bigger company and kind of see best of both worlds, but it wasn't right. I wanted to get into the St. Louis thing that we had going on. And so that, while I was kind of having these thoughts, that friend of mine called me, said, hey, we're looking to hire, we have this position, I think it'd be a great fit for it. And said, well, this is kind of where I'm at. And a few Johnny Walker Blacks later, I joined that company and quickly realized how much I love marketing, how much I love the networking side of things, and realized just what city we're actually in, like what St. Louis is actually all about and what it's like. So spent 2.5 years at that company. When I look back on the end, I'll probably be the most influential years of my professional career. I think when all said and done, I learned a ton about what not to do, what to do, how to be a good networker, how to provide out value or in all aspects of your life. And was awesome. So that's where I met you at. That's where I kind of started getting into it. And that's where I really started realizing the value and the connections of, you know, the networking and doing those things, along with the traditional methods of cold calling and doing that stuff. So funny enough, was there for two and a half years to develop a really good network. And at that point, the direction they were going and kind of what I wanted out of my personal life just wasn't quite there anymore. Kind of what I mentioned earlier, had that same conversation with our employees now. If we're having that situation, let's have a conversation before it festers into to hatred or whatever it might be. So
sure.
We sat down, had a conversation, and we put a plan together that for 2 months, we're going to start a transition out and I'm going to see what's next for me. I knew I really loved marketing. So I told a good friend of mine and a networker here in St. Louis. I'm sure you and many people who listen to this know JB Andrews. And so I confided in JB. I said, JB, I'm leaving, and there's my plan for the next 2 months. I'm not putting it out there. I'm just gonna go and see what I want to do next, right? Well, during my time at this agency, I used to refer a ton of stuff and do a lot of work with Tim at Beanstalk. And so the next day, my phone's ringing from Tim, and hey Tim, how you doing? He goes, are you leaving? What? How do you know that? Because JB told me. And then that's that. And so without networking, I'm certainly not at my last agency. I'm certainly not here. So I didn't apply for any of those jobs and wouldn't know you, right? And so my biggest, best relationships, while we get a ton of leads and clients that come through our traditional channels and marketing channels, our most fun clients, the ones that I have the best relationships are with, are the ones that I've been introduced to that have mutual connections, that are anchored to the city in some way. And, I don't like when people say, it's not business or it's not personal, it's business. When I think when you can mix the both, that's when business is the most fun. And I think you do that with networking. You're able to get that mix in there. So that's what networking is to me. And not only that, it's not just leads, it's also branding, right? Like,
For
you are a
sure.
brand. You're representing your company. Like, you need to be at these places, especially where your clients are going, right? If you're serving B2C contractors as a marketing agency, don't go where marketing agencies are. Go where B2C contractors are, right? Brand yourself, be out there, be noticeable. It's not just about getting leads. It's about having a consistent image, a consistent message, putting out there in the community. So, yeah, with that, it's treat people, the same person I mentioned to a mentor of mine now. We were having a conversation a few years ago. I think it goes back to networking as with employees. The golden rule is dead. It's the platinum rule now, right? It's treat people how they want to be treated.
Absolutely.
And when he mentioned that, a light bulb just kind of went off in my head. Like, it seems so simple. So not just from an employee standpoint, but from a networking standpoint, right? Treat people how they want to be treated, meet them where they want to meet. Yeah, super powerful.
Absolutely. Well, Ryan, it's been a pleasure to have you on the show today. I always end my podcast episodes by asking my guests to leave us with a piece of advice, and that could be personal, business, it could be networking, it could be anything you want to share. But if you could leave St. Louis with one piece of advice today, what would it be?
Find the right partner. I mean, find someone who compliments you well, right? I mentioned the independent mindset, which is great being an entrepreneur and great being a leader, but having someone that compliments your weaknesses and has your back 100% and vice versa, things become so much more freeing, not just in your personal life, but in the business. And I guess that's kind of the old find the yin to your yang and, unlock both of your full potentials, and things do start becoming a lot more fun. And me and Tim have found that in the last 3 years now, and I think without us doing this together, there's no way we're at today. So,
That's awesome. That's a great piece of advice. On behalf of the STLers podcast and myself, thank you for all you've done for the STLers podcast. Thank you for being a guest and look forward to future endeavors.
course, man. Great seeing you.
You too.
Bye.